right now, we're going to be introducing to you Dr. Sandra O'Neill. She is co-founder and has been practicing Bible healing methods at the Fountain of Love Miracle Center for the last 29 years. She has been committed to praying by faith for healthy family relationships, marriages, singles, and divorcees for over 2 decades. She has been prescribing scriptural solutions to simple to complex mental bruises and wounded spirits. Dr. Sandra O'Neill consults with Dr. Jesus and his advocate, the Holy Spirit, to find the latest and the best answers for your family matters. Her prophetic surgical tools include the gifts of the Spirit, especially word of knowledge and word of wisdom, practicing to excel in the gifts when the love of Jesus. She has helped hundreds of families find the victory for their family or personal life. She dispenses both spiritual and practical prescriptions that fits the spiritual matter. This question and answer session is based on real life situations and on sound biblical doctrine. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Sandra O'Neill to the podium.
We're going to have just a little bit of fun today, but yet we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to us in a very special way as we continue on the Fix My Family series. Let's get started. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we release this service entirely into your hands. You're the great doctor, and the Holy Spirit is the great surgeon. And we rely wholly upon you this morning. I thank you, Father, for every answer that is needed. I thank you, Father, for every healing that is needed, every insight. You know how to go on the inside and do what is needed. Things that we can't touch, you can touch them. You can minister to them right where they are. And I pray, Father, this morning over every household represented, whether it is married or single or divorced or widowed or widower, whatever that household, whoever is the head of that household, we pray over every head of every household. And then, Father, we pray over every member of the family. We pray for the unity of the family and the cohesion and the love in the family. We give you praise this morning for the victorious outcome of this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I also want you to welcome with me my two assistants. This is Nurse Jennifer Paez and her lovely assistant, our medical assistant, Kaylin O'Neill. They're going to be assisting me this morning as we progress through this service. Nurse Jennifer has questions that she is going to present to me, and then I will prayerfully be able to answer each one of those to be a blessing to those who have need of these answers, and perhaps it'll bless you as well. And then I'll add some other anecdotes as we go. Will I be able to use my PowerPoints? Yes, thank you, Lord. Okay, so we'll be able to use our PowerPoints as well. All right, my first question.
Dr. Sandra, I was hurt last year by my husband, and while I said I had forgiven him, I still find myself thinking about what he did. Have I truly forgiven him?
Well, it may not necessarily that you haven't forgiven him, but you may still be in the process. The Bible tells us sometimes we have to forgive people 70 times a day. And it takes time sometimes, depending on the depth of the hurt or what happened, what, how big or how great was the situation that you went through. And so as you're working through forgiveness, and I've had to work through forgiveness, not necessarily with my spouse, but with other people in my family or with other people in my life. And as I worked through it, every day I had to give it to the Lord. Every time the memories are real. You can't walk away from a memory. You can't really walk away from a pain. You can say, oh, get away from me, pain, or I rebuke you, pain. You really can't rebuke pain. You have to deal with it. And so as you begin and go through your everyday living, get a scripture. Find a word to meditate on. For example, you can meditate. I love Psalm 23, where it says, he restoreth my soul. And sometimes we have to be restored back to our relationship. We have to be restored back to our right mind, because sometimes pain brings depression. And it causes you to be heavy. And so you don't feel like doing the things that you would normally do because of the magnitude of that pain or that memory. But I assure you that the power of God is able to get you through that area of unforgiveness or working through that offense. And so as you begin to meditate on the word, every time the thought comes, replace it with the word of God. Every time you think, and you say, I forgive them, I forgive him, I forgive her, and then start blessing them, even if they don't seem blessable, even when you feel like you want to be vindictive. Anybody ever felt like that? Probably nobody in this place. You want them to run over a pothole and have a flat tire. You want something to show. You want them to crawl to the altar and beg your forgiveness in front of everybody. Whatever the picture you've had in your mind, get rid of that picture. And start meditating on God's word. Meditation is a surefire way to help your mind cope with pain. It's a surefire way to help your mind heal. Philippians 4:7 tells us to think on these things. It says, as you begin to think, that word think means to meditate on. Give your attention to, focus on these things. And it says, the peace of God will be with you. So if you want God's peace while you're working through a pain and a hurt, get that word. See, this is my reference book. This is my go-to book for every family situation. There are practical things we can do as well. But today, since we're in church, we're going to talk about a lot more spiritual things. But one of the best things that you can do practically is to show forgiveness. And by showing forgiveness, do something extra. Do something to say, I really do forgive you. And I'm praying that we can work through this, get past this, and move forward in our marriage. Amen? Amen. All right, let's praise God for that. All right. Amen. On my slides, let's look at a slide that I have prepared. Look at the one on the five languages of apology. Of apology. That would be number four. Yeah, there it is. This is from How to Apologize by Gary Chapman. It's a really, really good book. It's more of a counseling book, but if you wanted to read through it, it's still a good book to read. And a few years ago, I don't know if you all remember, I did a big exercise on how to apologize. We had a lot of fun with that. But here are, when you are apologizing, when you're on the other end of unforgiveness and you're the one that has to apologize, people need to know that you really believe or that you are really sincere about your apology. And even though it's not up there, one of Dr. Sandra's that I would add to that list would be to validate that person's feelings. And you know what? I really realize you're hurt. Sometimes, you know, we don't really believe they're hurt. All I said was this. Well, all I did was that. And so you don't really believe they're hurt. But you have to validate, yes, I understand that you were hurt. And I really didn't mean to hurt you. Or I'm sorry I hurt you, but I thought that was the only way that I could express how I felt about this situation. So express regret. I'm sorry. Accept responsibility. I was wrong. Please forgive me, boo-boo. Bring out your baby voice and show some love. Y'all stiff out there. Come on with me now. All right. Make restitution. Restitution, what can I do to make it right? Don't try to tell him to take you on a trip to Paris. You know, but do something fun. Go out and do something fun. Don't talk about the situation. Leave it alone. Maybe you got to go back and work out some things. But don't try to work out everything at the same time. And don't keep repeating, you know you did me wrong, you know you did me wrong. Don't keep reminding them that you did me wrong. All right, genuine repenting. That means when you genuinely repent, you says, I'm not going to repeat that. You know, don't say, I might do it again, so you know, but right now, I'm apologizing. That deserves a hot brick. All right. Requesting forgiveness. Maybe that's too hard. But anyway. And ask them to genuinely forgive you. And here's the real key point. Try to be as normal as possible. Don't walk on eggshells. Because now you're trying to rebuild trust. And it's a faith walk. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So we do many of these things, we do it by faith. So try to go back to normal and working things out, get back in the same bed together, ride in the same car together, all the things. If you would separate, if it went that far, try to go back to normal. Because one key thing is if you have children, they're going to imitate you. All right. I will say Selah on that one, and I will ask my lovely assistants for my next question, please.
My husband treats me like a slave more than a wife. He works 40 hours a week, but so do I. I cook, I clean, I wash clothes, and do all my wifely duties. How do I have balance with this?
That's a real sore button for me. I'm going to be as sweet as possible. And so, you have a wife who is willing to go to work and help you because it is the husband's responsibility to take care of that home. That is scripture. I'm not doing a lot of scripture today. You didn't hear enough of them, and you know them. But the scripture tells us the husband is the one who takes care of, provides for the home. The woman is the one who takes care of the home. That's the basic Bible belt way. But we live in a society now where wives work for whatever reason, because she wants to, because the husband needs her to, or whatever the desire might be. So when you have made the decision and you both agree that this wife is going to work, then there also may need to be a division of duties and responsibility as to how much responsibility you're going to take. I had a wonderful husband in that he helped me with our duties in the house. As far as my children, especially when they were young, I didn't have to do anything but keep their clothes clean and cook. I did the cooking. He never cooked. But he did help me feed them, and he did help me around the house. I didn't have to mop. I did mop, but I didn't have to. He loved sweeping and mopping. There's something about that family. The whole family loves to sweep, especially the men. Bobby and Raymond, they just love sweeping. And so anyway, he would help me with that part. And I believe it's very important for a wife to feel value, because you're giving value. You don't want to be that chauvinist guy. You know, I don't do anything but show up for dinner at the table, at the head of the table, and just feed me, woman, and, you know, hear me roar. And get in that bedroom as soon as you get done washing all the dishes and the clothes and folding the clothes and help the kids with the homework and ironing all the clothes and all that. Now you come on up in here and serve me again. If I come in there with a glove, that means something. I'm going to have a real good grip. Anyway, you figure it out. Some balls are going to be tossed around anyway. But anyway, so sit down and talk about it. Find something that he can actually do or she can actually do to be, because some things you don't want them to do. You know, I don't want you to wash my clothes at all. So you may want to sit down and say, okay, let's sit down and talk about what it is that we can actually do and make this house work. And again, we're being examples to our children. And everybody's happy. You don't have to worry about the balls being tossed around. Things will be really happy in the home. And it makes everything peaceful. And I want to go back to, it makes her feel valuable. Very important that women don't feel like objects and they're just there to assist the man. They're companions and they're helpmeets. And the Lord never said they were supposed to come behind the man. They're supposed to walk alongside the man. So I hope that answers someone's question. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next question, please.
What do I do if I'm angry with God because he hasn't given me a spouse?
Well, first of all, you need to understand that one thing that the Lord told me when I was angry with him, not about getting a spouse, but about my husband passing away, because actually anger is a stage of grief. He told me he could handle it. He says, you don't think I can, you're afraid of being angry, but you really are angry, so you might as well admit. Amen. Admit that you're angry, it's okay. God, I'm angry. He's a father. God is our father. Somebody say, God is our father. And whatever your feelings are, that's what they are. Whether you're angry, teed off, or whatever you want to call it, God is okay. He gave you those emotions. So now what do you do with that emotion? You got to explore why you're angry. I've been praying. I've been faithful. I've done this. We have all of those different things. But the one thing I found out about God, God wants to make every answer that we ask him clear. He wants to let you know why things haven't happened, what's going on right now. And the main thing that we have to do as believers is really get in the face of God. Why did this happen? I don't understand. Why am I still here? Why is this still going on like this? Talk to the Lord about it. Have a real relationship with him. Prayer is not just a duty. Sometimes people say, pray. Well, prayer is talking to God. You're talking to your father. You're not talking to a God. You're talking to your father. You're not talking to a God. When you have a talk with our Father God, Abba Father, you're actually talking to him like he is a person. He has a personality. And the thing about talking to him, he will talk back to you. Whatever it is, he will speak right back to you and say, okay, just wait, or I'm working things out, or you need to change something, you need to do something different with your hair. I mean, God will talk to you about everything, actually. I found that out. And so when you feel like you are really, really, really boiling over or angry, or you see somebody else going on with their life and you're not going on with yours, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten you, because he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. So you know he's right there, but are we in fellowship with him so that we can hear him? The Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places, and many times we operate out of our carnal mind. We're still trying to just see ourselves walking in church with them so everybody can say, ooh, look at her and her husband coming in church together. And look at that hair flowing, and look at his biceps, and wow, they really look good together. We got all these dreams and different things that we have, but we really haven't got in the spirit. And the Bible says to us that God does not speak to a carnal mind. So it doesn't mean you can't dream a little. There's nothing wrong with dreaming about having that real handsome guy or that real handsome girl. But it's what it is we have to make sure that we are connected with God. The connection. When you have a connection with God, then there's a dialogue. You're not just talking into the air. God is talking back to you. Are you listening? We forget that prayer is a dialogue. He talks to you, you talk to him. That's prayer. It's not a laundry list of stuff I need and stuff I want. I want to get that part out first. It's a relationship. I'm speaking to him and he's speaking to me. Don't go in blasting and tongues and quoting a lot of scriptures in God's face and, you know, talking to him in the third person. And the Lord will bless you. And no, talk to God. Talk directly to him. And then listen. Sit down and be quiet. Sometimes I just come in and just be quiet. I don't say anything. I don't ask anything. I just maybe under my breath, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I just go quiet. And I just wait on the Lord to speak to me and talk to me about what's going on with me. And you're feeling angry because of this. God will give you a word of knowledge. Or God will send someone that will call you, or he'll give you a scripture, and he will speak back to you. You must start expecting that. If you haven't been expecting it, expect God to speak to you in some way and give you an answer, and God will take care of the anger. You give that anger to the Lord like you give any other problem. Father, I give you this anger. I'm really hurting right now. I don't understand. It's been so long. I'm tired of being alone. I'd like to have somebody to turn over to and have them snore in my nose. It's real. It's really real. And so you says, and it, what was, repeat that one more time so I make sure I got it all, the anger. I'm angry with God.
What do I do if I'm angry with God because he hasn't given me a spouse?
Okay. So what do you do when you're angry with God when he hasn't given you a spouse? You go back to him and say, okay, God, I'm giving this all to you. I'm laying my anger on the altar, and I'm asking you to help me with this. And I want to, and sometimes you can't even get to repentance until you get to clarity. So it's no sense you just repenting all out in the air. So when I get to a place where, okay, you are angry, and I was trying to talk to you 2 weeks ago, I was trying to talk to you a month ago, I remember I had a situation, the Lord said, I gave you 10 days to work that out, and you wouldn't listen. And there's nothing I could say. But he told me specifically why I had anger. And that's what the Lord will do. He will give you answers. Father, I thank you right now that we can give anger to you. We release anger, frustration, fear, whatever it is, whatever anxiety or emotion is that we have, we give it to you right now. And we ask you to help us to manage it. Help us to cope with it. Help us to get through with it. And when you get to a certain place, then you can say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Don't think God can't wait on it. Because you got to be sincere when you do it. Amen. I understand now. Because sometimes we have to have understanding as to why we are waiting on God. Why this is happening with my family. Why this is happening in my marriage. Why does this keep happening? Anger comes from lots of things. And when we give that to the Lord and let him work on it, wait on him for an answer. If it don't come right away, just keep on staying there. As I always say, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing until you get an answer. It will come. Tell your neighbor, it's going to come. Your answer is going to come. I'm not here to promise you that you're going to have a spouse tomorrow, but I can promise you you're going to have an answer. God's going to give you insight. He can tell you why you're waiting. He can tell you what you need to do. He can tell you how to fix it. I can tell you that because he certainly answered me. And I don't think I'm any different than you, especially when it comes to my personal life and emotions. We all, tears all come the same way. Well, I pray that blessed you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you to my lovely assistant. Are we having fun? Yeah. Amen. All right. Next question. What's my next question?
Yes, doctor. My parents got divorced. Could I have prevented that? And if not, how do I deal with my parents if they remarry? Where does my loyalty lie?
Wow. First of all, especially for children, I worked in children's services for about 5 or 6 years, and one of the primary goals of children's services is to keep the family together. And that's our goal here at the ministry. One of our primary goals when we deal with family is to keep families together. But when that doesn't work, we never want the children to believe that it's their fault that parents are divorcing. So many times children can take upon themselves the responsibility as to why things are not going quite right in their home. And so I want to say to any child, teenager, even adult child, whose parents have divorced, that you take all the blame off yourself. Let's start with that. So when you are processing things through, trying to figure things out, you have a right to go to the Lord too. You have your own personal relationship with the Lord. Your relationship with the Lord is not through your parents. Your relationship with the Lord is on a one-on-one basis, and you can talk to God about you and your parents. Even when you see challenges happening in your home, you can talk to the Lord about what's going on with your family and with your parents. Give me the second part of that again.
If not, how do I deal with my parents if they remarry, and where does my loyalty lie?
First of all, your loyalty is going to lie with the Lord. Then you can ask the Lord to give you strength to cope with the family that you had and that the family that you have now. You listen to your parents as to how the division of visitations or whatever the arrangements are going to be, and you ask God to give you the strength to do it. I'm sure it won't be easy. I'm sure it's not easy. But I do know that the Lord will give you wisdom and insight. He gave David wisdom and insight. He gave Joseph and Mary. Mary was a young woman. She was just 14, 15 years old, but he gave them wisdom and insight. And the Lord will give you wisdom and insight as well. God will give you a peace. You ask God for peace. Father, during these years of my life, while I'm working this through, while I'm still understanding it, because sometimes children don't always understand, and it might be good for parents to sit down and really make sure your children understand what happened and why it had to happen. And so that they could have some clarity, and maybe both parents that are not do it while you're angry. Put all your anger aside, which is one of the things I was going to talk about. I don't know if I'll get to about the family table, why it's so good to come to the table and begin to talk and dialogue about things and nobody's angry. Have a night when nobody's angry. Or you find out, okay, what's happening? What's going on with you? What's happening with you? Or here's, we're going to talk about, we're getting ready to do this, and this is what we're going to need you to do. We know you don't understand, but we want you to know we both love you. And we both value you. You're still going to be valuable. We're going to make sure that you get the things that you need. We're going to get things worked out. We need to make sure that when we are going through divorce or separation or whatever is going on in our home, that we make sure that those children understand that it is not going to impact everything in their lives. To a degree, it does, but you got to make sure that everything stays as normal as possible. Keep it as normal as possible. Keep it as loving as possible. And if you have words, have them out of the sight of your children. If you have words in the sight of your children, make sure whether you're married or divorced that the children see you make up. That the children see you come to a conclusion. Because you will build what? Anxiety in children. Also, heavy stress causes diseases and sickness. Unnecessary ailments in our bodies when we go through really heavy stress. So it's important that we be mindful of them. If you are going through a situation in your marriage, this is a time you really need to pray. Because one of the things I tell people, do not make major decisions, especially about life and living, when you're really angry and mad. If you're really angry and mad, you need to wait until God gives you some peace. Because the Bible says the first sign of wisdom is peace. One more time. The first fruit of wisdom is peace. One more time. The first fruit of wisdom is God's peace. God's wisdom is accompanied by peace. It is not accompanied by angry words. It is not accompanied by division. It is not accompanied by fighting. God's wisdom is accompanied by the peace of God. And when you have God's peace, then those children can sigh. But if they're like this and they're not sure, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? I'm not sure. You need to quell. And you need to look at them. Observe them. How are they behaving? Has their behavior changed? Has their conversation changed? Have they withdrawn? Go observe your children. Ask God to give you insight about those children. Because you are responsible for their care. So recapping, make sure your child know they're not to blame. Make sure your child know they're valuable. And make sure you keep everything as normal as possible. Explain to them what is happening and when to expect things to change so they'll be prepared. Okay, come on, get your stuff. They don't know what date anything is happening. They are more intelligent than what we give them credit for. So, Father, we thank you as we release your healing, wisdom, and insight. A true healing, Father. True ministry right now, Father, for our children, young and old alike, that are still may still be tossing back and forth from that. I just thank you, Father, that you are ministering and healing your people in this place. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Next question. I got to move on. My time is moving.
What happens when my friend tells me to disobey my parents when they think it's unfair or silly?
Well, let's go to the first rule with my parents, what they think is unfair and silly. Okay, so you have a friend, and their parents have told them they cannot go with you to Disneyland. And you think it's so unfair because you've washed the dishes, you've been so good, and I know they got the money, and your kids talk. I was one. Me and Shay was kids. We talked. And I don't understand why they wouldn't do that. That's silly. That ain't fair. That ain't right. But you got to remember, you're messing with a major commandment that says, honor your parents that you may have long life. You're messing with their lifeline. You say, well, I never thought about that. I know. That's why they asked the question. They're not sure what to do about that. They want to keep the friendship, but they don't want to disobey their parents. So sometimes they can feel caught in the middle, depending on the mental stability, the health, the strength of a person. Some are leaders, some are followers. And so we have to work with our children where they are and teach and train them. And of course, parents will say, well, you ain't in the Joneses' house, you in my house. You know, the Joneses got this. Well, you know, the Joneses is not paying your bills. So, you know, we as parents, well, we don't realize sometimes that's a real struggle, especially when it seems like it's something that's really important. It's really important. It's something I really wanted to do. Quick story that just came to me was, I remember when my youngest son, our pastor, was growing up, and there was a young man, great big old 6'8" guy. You remember him, J. Mike. He would always try to get my son to disobey rules that I had given. I remember trying to get him to drive downtown one time after Jaron had turned 18, and we said, we don't think you should really do this. I just don't feel the Lord in this. And so he decided not to do it, and his you could tell his friend had given him a really, really hard time. Well, several years later, I went to his wedding, and he wept. And he said, thank you for making your son not follow me. He says, you don't know. I wish I had that. Can you imagine a great big old guy looking down at me just weeping? He couldn't believe I even came to his wedding. Another situation, I told him, I says, his friend wanted to go out with him, his really good friend, lives in Arizona. And he said, he wants me to go. I said, I think his father said, I don't think you should go. So Jaron told him, I'm not going. Well, that night, this young man had one of the first police chases on the freeway before they were very popular. And he got arrested and was on probation for I don't know how many years, and da-da-da-da. Well, Jaron could have been in the car with him. And we don't know what could have happened with the Lord's future that he had for him. But so it's very important that you understand, say, listen, If you're on that side where you're saying, well, you shouldn't do that, on that side, on the side saying your parents are not fair, you should say, you know what, well, if that's what your parents say, I don't understand. You may not agree. I mean, people are going to say what they're going to say, but you do not encourage them to disobey their parents or to make them think that they're parents. If you're on that side, nope, I got to do the word. I'm sorry that, you know, don't make me choose between you and my parents or you and my long life. And you don't want nobody going by casting. Wasn't she a good girl? She sure was cute, but she gone. So that is, okay, that's for that. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you that we have the ability to obey. The Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter 1 and 9, I believe it is, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to obey the word of God. Holy Spirit, help us to obey. Help us to obey our parents and to obey authorities. Your word says that we are to obey authorities because you put them in place. God put authorities in place. So, Father, we thank you that we will obey. Amen. All right, what else we got? Before I ask another question, let me make sure I don't, I can share. It's so important to have a family prayer. I'm going to just throw that one in. That's not a question, but I have it on there. If you can put mine up on family prayer, that's really good. For family prayer, that is, you know, there's an old saying that a family that prays together stays together. And even if it's not an hour, if it's not a half hour, if it's just 7 minutes, that you take time to read a scripture or quote a scripture and pray with every member of your family, whether it's in the morning before you leave out or in the evening before you go to bed, take time to have that family agreement. Prayer always breeds unity. And the second thing is the family table. You need to have a family table in your home if you do not already. That family table, and make sure you say grace. They're really reaching for that fried chicken there. So. Make sure you say grace. But I had to make sure that my family table was not a time for arguing. I set a rule. We could not argue at the family table. And because we were all busy, I had to make sure there was at least two nights of the week. Sunday was always family dinner. But I had to, whatever week, because they was all in basketball, track, this, soccer, all the different things they were in, going to their friend's house and whatever they were doing. One night of the week, we're having dinner. Everybody come to dinner, and it starts at this time. And I don't want any excuses. And when you come to the table, you cannot argue. Amen. You cannot have disagreements. It's all good, all the conversation around that table, because family table breeds what? Agreement. It brings unity and it brings oneness. So it's very important that we have a family table for our family. And when we do that, it brings memories. People remember. They remember that the family came together. I hope that you are valuing the things that are being shared today. Sometimes I see people moving around, and everybody has values. But it's something about us staying together, because even though it may not apply to you, you can encourage your sister and brother, and you can pray for them. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, so the family table. I think I have another one on the family table, or family gatherings. We come together, unite, leave all your differences, whether you're having soul food or burritos or fried rice, whatever it is, come together and have that family table. And sometimes you just need to be reminded. Sometimes you just need to remember that it's important to have family. Family is important. Your friends may give you all kind of accolades, and you may think, oh, my friend, but when it comes down, when you get in trouble, it's going to be your family. Family. I don't want to see you again. Don't come back no more. Okay, say it for the moment, but you get your behind right on back over there. Get on right up again and just come. Okay, all right. Okay, boo-boo, I don't like what you did. I still don't like what you did, but we family. Okay, I don't like how you acted, but we family. And we're not going to drop each other. We're going to hold each other up. Family is what God created from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, family fun. Now, let's put that on there real quick. Let me throw that one in before we do our last question. We're doing really good. Okay, family fun. We need to have type of family fun. Okay, that's one of my best prescriptions. That you take time and do something besides sitting around the table and eating and what takeout. And everybody in a different room at a house and all of that. Find a time to get with family. And if you don't have a family, make you up a family. You say, I'm out here by myself, and find somebody else who's out here by themselves and get you a family, get you somebody that you can, you know, always tell people, don't eat alone. Find somebody that you can eat with or go out to the movies with, or, you know, the park is free, the beach is free. There's so many, you can go sit on top of the hill here in these areas and watch the lights and talk about them and all that, you know. But take some time to have fun, because fun is a part of living. God intended for the family to be happy. And it's a scripture that actually say he gave us all things richly to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy living. God wants you to enjoy life. He made that. There's so many celebrations in the Bible. We don't talk about the celebration. We talk about the wars and the difficulties and the devil and the witches. But we don't talk about, there's also celebrations in the Bible, like the, you know, the wedding at Cana. There are weddings as well. Things that you can celebrate and have celebrations and time of fun. Because it also breeds unity. It brings memories in the children. I remember when we did this. I remember we had that fish fry. I remember when we went to New Orleans and drove. We all was had our different names. Dion, remember that? We drove to New Orleans for the first time. And I forgot what my name was, but Mighty Mouse or something. It's probably Mighty Mouth, but whatever it was. We had so much fun doing it. So you're laughing already. Because it's important, and you need to be reminded to make sure we get that, have that family fun and include every member of the family. I think family living, there's one with the grandparents, everybody's in there. Make sure you include all the members. Don't leave anybody out. Bring everybody in and make sure every family living includes everyone. Don't exclude. Don't forget the one that's quiet or never calls or never shows up or never brings any food to anything. Bring them anyway. Feed them anyhow. Bring the dish that they would have brought. Oh, this is probably what they would have brought, so I'll bring two dishes. You really have to outlove people. Don't wait for people to love you the way you want to be loved. You start loving them. I have a thing. You can't outlove me. I'm going to love you more. I'm going to give more. You do me wrong, I'm going to buy you two gifts. I learned that from Mom T. So you don't just, okay, if they give me a gift, I'm going to give them a gift. No, you give them a gift regardless. Give them something special just because they act ugly. That's love. That's the love of Jesus. He loved us regardless. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He first loved us. You show love first. You show love first and watch what God will do. Now, there was one thing, one word that God gave me before I asked the last question, and that was sometimes when we are in homes of divorce, or we come from divorced families or whatever, you have to make sure that children keep whatever is going on. It's hard, children, for you to do it sometimes, but you can't take what's going on in this home and take it to the next house. It causes challenges. It causes challenges with child support. They just got a new TV. Oh, really? Oh, and they can't give me $50 more? Oh, we going to court right now. You keep that family business stays in the house. And you're going to learn that the hard way, because the seed you sow will come back to you. Keep your mouth shut. Start growing up right now and keeping what's going on. Even just for your regular family. Don't go out and tell everybody what's going on in your house. Hallelujah. It's none of their business. Don't be bleating on everybody what your husband did or what your wife did. You know what she did? She's still calling. She's still acting like, did you know what he did? Look at him over there. You know what and he's trying to act like he all saved. And I can't tell you what he did last night. Well, guess what he did? So you have to find, you have to just, you know, keep it to yourself. Don't do like the three people that went off on a camping trip, and the one said they was going to pray for each other, and one said, well, I need you to pray for me because I keep cheating on my taxes. And the other one said, you got to pray for me because I keep watching pornography. I'm trying to get rid of it. Pray for me. And the third one was quiet. They said, well, what do you want me to pray for? Well, I want you to pray for me because I don't want y'all to pray for me. I don't want y'all to pray for me because I can't get, wait till I get off of this mountain so I can tell everything y'all said. That's my problem. I tell everything I hear. You can't tell everything you hear and see, even if you don't like it. If you feel like you need to bleed, go to some bleed up, as Pastor always said. Go to someone that can help you. Find counseling. I'm going to have to end here. Because sometimes you need professional. If you need professional counseling, and sometimes you may not want to come and tell us all your stuff that's going on with you. You may want to keep that private, but go to counseling. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. Get recommendation. Ask people who we have. And we also have a counseling list. And they don't call and tell us what you're saying or anything like that because they can't do that because it's confidential. So find counseling if you need to. That means you haven't been able to find a solution. That means you have not been able to work it out. You mean you've done everything you can. You can't get them to talk. You can't get them to respond to you. Or every time you try to talk, they can't understand you or hear you. Get someone else involved that is unbiased, that you can trust, that both of you can agree upon, and get some answers. There's good quality Christian counselors out there that can minister to you and your family. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory right now for every family need in this ministry. For our visitors and for those that are here, those that are at home, we pray over every family need where there is counsel, where there is unity, where families, there are families that need to unite. There are families that have discord. They can't get together at all. They can't talk at all. Father, I thank you. There are families that are in here that have things that are up in the air and they don't know what to do about it. They have situations they have no clue and no answers. I thank you that you are here today to lead and guide us into all truth by your Holy Spirit. You are the great answer. You give answers to everything for every need. I thank you that you're working in their homes right now. Visit every room of the house. Visit every room of their heart and their mind. Old stuff that's just been lingering there. Holy Spirit, come with your broom and sweep it out. Clean them out. Purge all those old feelings and old thoughts and old memories and old stuff that's been lingering and haunting them and tormenting them. Wash it out. Remove it by your power and by your Spirit. Lift their heart and lift their mind, Father. We ask you, Lord, to cause families and marriages even today to start brand new, to start fresh. Bring a refresher into their home. Let them bring out that family table. Let them brush it off and clean it off and clean out those pots and pans and put some cooking in them and do something with that yard and do something with them getting out of town every once in a while. Just go in and do a renovation. You know how. We can only speak what we believe you're saying, but you know how to go directly to the issue. And we're asking you to do that right now. We bless every family, those that are married, those that are divorced and newly married, those that are singled, those that are widowed, whatever is going on in their lives, mothers, single mothers with children, single fathers with children, whatever, those with joint custody, we just pray over each one. We thank you, Lord, that no stone will be unturned. No need will go unmet. No question will go unanswered. Your anointing. We release your anointing. We release your anointing. We release your breakthrough. We release your freedom. We release
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember that faith comes from hearing and repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize that I have sinned and I need a Savior. To save me from myself, to save me from my past, to save me from hurt and pain. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and he got up from the grave. So I invite Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Today, I make a commitment to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you are saved by the confession of your faith. Now it's time for you to get planted in a church home. So I would like to invite you to come worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. For further information, please visit our website at www.allinthefountain.com or simply reference the information found at the bottom of this CD. God bless you. I hope to see you soon. And remember, everything you need is in the fountain.